A housewife makes history by moving over to a different franchise, and we have some hot, hot takes for this upcoming NFL season. You do not want to miss either topic and much more on this episode of The Real Football Fans New Jersey. Fill up those wine glasses. Hello.
Hello, everybody.
Hello. Hello.
Welcome. Welcome. It is another Wednesday with the Real Football Fans of New Jersey, and this is our first episode of August 2022.
How is it August?
That's a great question. But, you know, at the end of the show, when we give you things to get ready for this upcoming week, we've got some football action going to be happening. So
foosball.
We are getting to that time, you know, preseason football, it is coming up. So it's crazy that it's August, but we are that much closer to live football action.
I love that.
Of course, very excited about that. We are excited about episode 214 tonight. We've got a lot of fun things to go over and discuss with you guys all the latest and greatest in the world of football and housewives. But we are going to start tonight's episode with some poll questions. We polled you guys on Instagram, on Twitter, a lot of engagement. So we appreciate that. And let's kick it off. Let's get into these three questions, some results, our opinions. This first one has to do with the regular season and week one and games that we have to look forward to for week one. So which NFL week one game are you looking forward to more? We've got two really good ones here. The Kansas City Chiefs at the Arizona Cardinals or the Tampa Bay Buccaneers at the Dallas Cowboys. 60% of you said you are more looking forward to Tampa Bay versus Dallas. Caitlin, what did you vote on this one?
I agree with the majority. I think it's more so I definitely want to see Dallas out of the gate. We've been talking a lot, you know, in the, you know, off season about their roster and, you know, how, you know, they're building up. They're on paper. We always say they're a phenomenal team. You know, is this the year then we start week one against a solid Tampa Bay team? I need to see as a part of the NFC East how they come out and play against them. So I think the other game is really good, but I don't know. My opinion is that Arizona may struggle a little bit in the beginning. I know last year they kind of had their downfall at the last half of the year. I think that actually might happen a little bit in the beginning. So while it might be a good game, I'm just more interested in the other one because selfishly I need to be a little bit more interested in the other one.
Yeah. Before I give my answer and before I forget, you know, we talked about this last week, by the way, that big story about Kyler Murray and his new contract and being required that, you know, part in his contract saying he was required to have 4 hours a week of independent study. Apparently now, coming at you taking a week out later on the show, they have taken that out of his contract.
So apparently dumb.
He was offended by it. And I know a lot of people had some hardcore opinions about it. It has now been taken out of his contract. He should be doing it anyways, regardless. And I think that's why he took offense to it. Probably. I didn't read much further into it,
but he doesn't, he's known to not study. Like that's, I spoke about that on the show.
When you said that last week, I hadn't heard that before. I believe
yes, that like comes from college. Like he is known to not study.
Well, you know, obviously we like to update you on stories that we've talked to you guys about in the past. So that was just a quick update on that one. With that being said, I also went with the majority. I also went with Caitlin. I'm going Tampa Bay versus Dallas. Obviously, we kind of have like a pony in the race because, yes, I do want to see what our division rival is about this year. I think that's a huge first week one game for Dallas. And
that sucks. I'd hate that week one game.
Yeah, I thought that it is week one. And so you don't want to like jump to conclusions. But I really do feel like if Dallas comes out week one and beats a team like Tampa Bay – it's a pretty big statement.
That's huge.
Kind of like it's the tone of like, Okay, these are the Cowboys that we're going to see this year.
Right.
So it is an important game. So it's going to be a good one. I'm looking forward to watching that. All right, number two, another week one question. Do you think Cleveland will still win their week one game versus the Carolina Panthers without quarterback Deshaun Watson? We will talk about him in a little bit. 78% of you said yes. And again, we're going to talk about this in a second, but Jacoby Brissett will be starting those games for Cleveland with Deshaun Watson out week one. So it would be Jacoby Brissett. And I guess not a lot of people have faith in Carolina. Of course, they have a little bit of a quarterback conundrum over there. It has been stated that it is an open competition between Sam Darnold and Baker Mayfield. Caitlin, what did you say on this one?
I actually said no. So I didn't go with the majority here. Okay. Well, we're going to obviously get into the details in a little bit. No matter what happens, there is just I use the word distraction in Cleveland right now. And I just don't know with everything going on that team is actually going to be prepared mentally, or maybe this might take a toll physically on this team for week one. And I do not care how bad the Carolina Panthers are. The Browns, no matter what happens, they're not showing up to week one. There's too much going on, you know. Even if Deshaun Watson doesn't play, he's at practice right now. So he's making relationships with people that might crack. You have no idea what's going on. There's camera crews there. There's things going on. Again, I use that word distraction. That is the worst thing you could have in the NFL. So I can't see, I don't know. I just see it going up in flames week one.
I'm going to totally play devil's advocate here off of what you just said.
Beauty of the show.
I went with that Cleveland will win that week one matchup against Carolina. And to play devil's advocate to the point you made, as much of a distraction as it is, you know, with Deshaun Watson, you already know the answers to as far as who's your week one starting quarterback.
Right.
Whereas Carolina might not know that answer until maybe like a week before that game. That to me could be more of a distraction for the players. We have no idea what to expect. At least Cleveland has their answer right now that Deshaun Watson is not going to be starting week one. It is Jacoby Brissett, and it's enough time to mentally prep for that and be ready for that. And also I'm not a believer in Carolina this year. I think this is going to be a weak team. And I really do. As far as the Deshaun Watson situation, okay. But I really do like a lot of the players on both sides of the ball for Cleveland. They've got some playmakers. So,
yeah.
All right. And last but not least, are you a fan of Caroline and Sergio's relationship? They are from the Real Housewives of Dubai. 93% of you said no. Caitlin, we haven't recently spoken about how far along both of us are.
Well, they had the wedding.
I didn't see that yet. So I might be an episode, maybe behind. Two episodes behind, but what did you say on this one?
I said no. And, you know, I always joke that like this, the whole show is the premise of our show is me and Katie texting. So you guys just kind of get our day-to-day talking back and forth to each other. And what we have discussed on a daily basis pretty much is that they're about their relationship. To me, almost sometimes I feel like it is a little like platonic almost. I think that maybe in the beginning they started off like, ooh, yeah, like I've got feelings for this guy. Like I'm an older woman. He's a younger guy. He's a soccer player, like cool, like hot and heavy. But like the times we've seen them like kiss on the show is like kind of uncomfortable. Like it's not. And that's why I use the word platonic, because I don't know if they just kind of like each other's company right now. But like, I'm just not a fan because I just don't know where it's going. They bring up the idea of kids and that's being shot down. Like those are things that you need to talk about before you tie the knot. And I don't know. It's just a little weird in my opinion. But these are things that we've spoken about before. So I had to go with no on this one because I don't know if it's real.
Yeah, I went with no as well. And it's not necessarily an attack on them as a couple or even as individuals. I don't think that they work together. And,
yeah.
You know, you don't hope for anybody that's in love and you know, getting married that you know, it's going to end in a divorce.
Right.
But I just don't see this one working out long term. I really don't. It feels like they have massive, massive differences on some pretty big opinions. Prime example is children of Sergio desperately wanting one and Caroline hardcore not wanting one. Usually two people that feel that strongly about that don't go forth and get married. They're like, you know, this is not going to work. We want two very different things on one of the biggest topics in a marriage. Like, we need to go our separate ways. So I just don't feel like either one of them are going to truly be fulfilled with what they want in a marriage to one another. So I'm just, I don't see it. I don't see it happening. I don't see it working out.
Yeah.
But those are our poll results. Thank you guys so much for voting on those. Caitlin, if anybody wants to send us questions, comments, anything like that during this live episode, where do they do that?
Yeah, we're live on Facebook, YouTube, and Twitter right now. Thank you guys for tuning in live. I see a ton of you live on the Twitter. Twitter, you got to just reply to us. Or if you want to comment directly within the feed, you got to go over to YouTube or Facebook. I'll link over the YouTube in a little bit when we get done with our next story. But obviously, leave your opinions on the polls. Leave your opinions on this next topic, because I know this one is hot and heavy with the opinions. And I know we have ours as well. I was going to say, I feel like I need to put on the air conditioning, take a sip of wine before we get into it.
All right, bro.
She did it. She gone drinking. She's starting. All right. So clearly we're going to talk about the big ginormous elephant in the room. We are going to talk about Deshaun Watson. So there are clearly new updates to this. I will go over those at the end, but I want to go over what we know so far as of literally right an hour before the show. Of course, more stuff came out, but let's go over what we know prior to an hour before tonight's show. So on Monday, disciplinary officer Sue L. Robinson ruled that Cleveland quarterback Deshaun Watson would be suspended for 6 games this season for violating the NFL's personal conduct policy. The NFL actually recommended he be suspended for at least the 2022 season, but Robinson said she was bound by standards of fairness and consistency of treatment among players that have been similarly situated in this. Her decision also requires Watson to not have massages other than ones directed by club personnel. That doesn't scream guilty. I don't know what does. The NFL Players Association made a statement saying that they would not appeal Robinson's ruling. The three-time Pro Bowl quarterback has been with Cleveland throughout their offseason workout program and training camp and free agent acquisition. Jacoby Brissett is set to start for them at quarterback during Watson's suspension. In their first 6 games, they are going against Carolina, the New York Jets, Pittsburgh, Atlanta, the Chargers, and New England. So
the key thing is those 6 games, honestly, the only one that I feel like they're losing is the Chargers.
Right.
All the other ones with Jacoby are still winnable.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous.
So, I have so many thoughts on this. And I decided to, if you look at my Twitter, I decided to wait until tonight's episode to fully kind of, this isn't my get it off my chest segment. I am, you know, the NFL has so much to be ashamed of, in my opinion. And what the latest is from there, that they have actually appealed the decision for 6 games, and they are actually going to move forward with they want to go after the full suspension of the 2022 season. No one should be applauding the NFL for appealing this. They decided to take this and to outsource it to outside counsel, to bring another judge in to look at it. That was the NFL's decision. So basically what the NFL did, in my opinion, was do this. We know probably someone's going to do a low count, like 6-7 games. And then we're going to come in like the good guys and be like, no, you know what? It's got to be for the full season. They've been kind of speculating that, things like that. You don't move it to outside counsel, in my opinion, for that. So do not applaud them. They're doing what they should be doing. This isn't a pat on the back to the NFL for now trying to appeal this decision. I think that the judge going after 6 games and then still stating that he cannot get massages by anyone outside of the Cleveland Browns is horrendously disgusting. If I were a trainer, specifically a female trainer for the Cleveland Browns, I would be quitting that day. And I would expect the Cleveland Browns to pay me in full and walk away from it, because truly, utterly disgusting, in my opinion. It was also, I did read the entire report from the judge and the whole ruling and everything like that. I just couldn't take my eyes off of it. She had declared that 4 of the accusations were extremely legitimate. One was not legitimate because the individual just chose to stay anonymous. They never, so the NFL didn't interview this individual. They just heard this individual's story. They're anonymous. I don't know if it's a guy or a girl, honestly. So why does it have to be four or more? Why one person? It just takes one legitimate story for this to not be okay. Mm-hmm. Why does it have to be four that you thought were legitimate? Why did the Houston Texans have to settle with 30 women? Why are three still going after Deshaun Watson for literally everything they have? They're not backing down. They didn't take a settlement from either Deshaun Watson or the Houston Texans. They're moving forward. I think I said this on a previous episode, you know, I've like lived and dreamed to work for the NFL. Like it was a dream career for many people. But to this day, I don't think I can put that brand like on my name because it has to do with everything. I've said this, I think, Katie, on one of our first episodes ever, almost 5 years ago, there was something I had gone out. The NFL has a horrendous conduct board. I don't know who's on their conduct board, who's making decisions, but it literally says, I just read it, that this individual could not do more than six games because she was bound by the standards of fairness of what has already been done in the NFL for situations like this.
So by the way, that was the part that confused me. They suggested doing a season. She was like, no, to be fair, and because of other situations in the past and what the punishment has been for that, we got to do six games. When has there been a story like that's like this? Like I'm talking like, of course, there's someone smoked weed and then another person smoked weed. This is like a very its own single situation that has not specifically in this manner happened before.
Well, here's why this is a problem. So, sexual assault against women has been brought up in the NFL before for
players. Of course. So, I just feel like this is a whole other thing of its own.
It really is. And that's why I say conduct is a problem. You know, people are bringing up Calvin Ridley, and I don't think it's not directly related. Like he did something like he wasn't supposed to do. And then you bring up guys like, you know, with like the whole like marijuana thing, like that people are like done in the NFL because of that. That's fine. These are all three buckets of different, but that's where the conduct is wrong with the NFL. You need to lay out what are the punishments for each thing, and they need to equally match up with each other, because for someone like Calvin Ridley to be suspended for an entire season for placing a $1,000 bet through DraftKings, it wasn't even through like a bookie or like something super sketchy and illegal. It was literally through a digital online thing that so many people bet on. Yes, you're not allowed to do that. He's an idiot. I understand that, but he's not playing for an entire season. And Deshaun Watson could potentially come back week one still, which is horrifying. And he has 30 plus allegations against him, and literally 30 of them settled. Three are still going at him for everything that he has, and they are not backing down. Awful, horrendous. I don't know. It's so much shit is going on. And again, the NFL has to be completely ashamed of themselves. Anything, anyone involved in this situation, there's just so much to unravel. And there's people, all across the board, there's people defending Deshaun Watson, think that six games is way too much and things like that. You know, good for you, but maybe look in the mirror sometimes and kind of, you know, think about this a little bit more. I don't know. There's just too much out there. And like I said, this isn't get it off my chest, but this is just something that has been heating me to my core for so long now.
Yeah. I mean, let's not put abusing women, abusing children, stuff like that on the same freaking level as like smoking marijuana.
That's why they need to figure it out. NFL, figure that shit out.
Well, weed is legal in more than one state. Like, let's not have that. Let's not look at that and say, yeah, that deserves the same freaking punishment.
But they do. Like, and it's insane. It's insanity. Like, it's literally insanity. That's why there's a problem. Figure it out. Figure it out. Like, yeah. You can't. It's exactly what you just said. It's not
very,
the same.
It's very shameful. It really is. So
it's just, it's mind boggling in my
and
opinion.
And to me, Deshaun Watson should be like, hell yeah, only six games. Like that was a win. Like, you know what I mean? For the people saying that it's too much, I feel like he's got to be celebrating the fact that.
No, he's not. He came out today saying I'm playing week one. I'm fighting this. And there's no, people have said like, there's no remorse in his voice. Like he's just like,
No, because he's maintained his innocence the entire time. He has not backed down from that. So,
yeah, I just, you gotta look at some things. Oh, I mean, oh, well, yeah. And the one, now that you had mentioned it, the one is, the one example is Ben Roethlisberger. That's what I think they're comparing it to now that I think about it. But he only, again, he had one person. It was one accusation.
I think the situation with Deshaun is in a league of its own. I don't think it's comparable to any other situation that has ever happened before. So,
right. No, I get that. I just, it's tough. It's definitely something for the books. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like it's something to look back on and to really, and there's more, like I said, like there, something came out like right before the episode. Like this is not over. It's nowhere near being over.
No. And we will not know until, you know, right before the season, like things could change, you know, if he's appealing it, if the NFL is doing their own appeal, like we do not know the answer. So,
yeah. So
I think Cleveland should just stay, like I said, so it's not a distraction. Just go forward, like move forward, already just cementing in your mind that like Jacoby is playing in the first 6 weeks of the season. And that is what it is. Like, that's what you're game planning for.
I just think it's like, he's at camp though. Like that's a distraction. Like in my opinion, like he's there, he's signing kids' autographs. That's gross.
But he still needs to obviously like work with his new teammates in a new offense. And so he is prepped and ready for that. But yeah.
Yep. Just wild.
Even knew what they were doing when they picked him up. They knew that it was not
an
easy path, but you know, they decided that it was worth it. So
isn't there one of their owners like a female too? I'm sorry. Like, I just like don't understand what's going on. Someone on there, like, oh, I don't know what it is, but it's just wild in my opinion. Like, boy, well,
let's move on. Cause I honestly don't even care to talk about it that much. I'm like, I'm sick of it.
It's frustrating.
But let's get into NFL quick hot topics. Yesterday, it was announced that Miami will forfeit their 2023 first round draft pick and 2024 third round pick, which is, I take that as very severe. Like it's anytime you lose, huge, especially a first rounder, that's a harsh punishment.
The way the third round goes these days, that's like a two for one special right there. Not the type of 2-for-1 special you want. So
right. So along with that, team owner Stephen Ross will be suspended through October 17th. This is following an investigation involving potential violations, including tampering rules with quarterback Tom Brady and former New Orleans head coach Sean Payton while they were under contract with other clubs. And also an investigation that was done if Miami intentionally lost games during the 2019 season to improve their draft position. Of course, you can remember Brian Flores when he was head coach at the time. And, you know, he was trying to get another head coaching position. And, you know, that there was uproar over that. And these were allegations that he made during that time about, you know, he was coming out with all these stories and, you know, the NFL took that seriously, went into an investigation on that. And this is, you know, what they've found and feel is the correct punishment for it. And again, I mean, it's like I said, it's a severe punishment. A team never wants to lose a first round draft pick. No. I mean, I think that Miami roster is like, you know, a young squad and they can always use talent and any team, any of the 32 teams, not to lose their first round draft pick would be a very big deal. And then of course, again, losing another one, having your owner suspended. Not good for Miami. Not good.
Not good. And one of the, it's like one of those things too, where it's like this whole week has just been like an uproar of like NFL stuff. And it's like, I want like the people to like understand that like this, I feel like the NFL is almost like playing a game, like strategically, like, wow, a thing comes out, but like, let's release this like real quick. And the Dolphins thing was interesting because they were releasing it over like a couple hours. So it was like, this was the Tom Brady accusation. Then Sean Payton came out later. And then it was, okay, here's what we're taking away from the Dolphins. So I just want like everyone to understand, like the news doesn't just shut off like after a couple days or like the next big story. Like, don't like forget about everything that's going on right now, like end to end with the NFL. I just think it's a little sketchy sometimes how they release information. So, yeah.
All right. Well, these next two stories kind of go hand in hand because they're almost matching identical contracts for two big time players that were very much so waiting for these big contracts.
I think we've all been waiting for these.
Everybody's been waiting. On Sunday, San Fran wide receiver Deebo Samuel agreed to a 3-year contract extension worth up to $73.5 million with $58.1 million guaranteed. The second round 2019 draft pick, he had a breakout year last season, playing in 16 games, adding 77 catches for over 1,400 yards, 6 touchdowns. But then let's also add 365 rush yards and 8 rushing touchdowns. Yeah. This was San Fran's Swiss Army knife. He did it all last year, absolutely deserving of this contract. So hats off for San Fran making it happen and being able to keep a player like Deebo. Is huge for them.
Yeah.
On Thursday, Seattle Seahawks and wide receiver DK Metcalf agreed to a 3-year contract extension worth up to $72 million with $58.2 million in guarantees plus a $30 million signing bonus, which is the highest in history for a wide receiver. He'll earn $24 million next season, which is the 6th highest amongst wide receivers right now in the NFL. So again, Seattle, I think they need all the weapons they can get after, you know, losing their star quarterback in Russell Wilson. DK Metcalf is going to be a huge factor in that offense. So to be able to lock him in and keep the star players that you do, the star players that you still have that are still left over is very crucial. So good for the two teams making it happen. And congrats to them, two very deserving players.
Big, big, big. I think I had retweeted something or it was on Instagram. It was like, it's remember the one play that DK Metcalf had where he was like,
ran the guy down.
It was like literally that. It was like a meme, like running after his contract. It was honestly so funny. That video, I could watch that like just on repeat. Need to like get pumped up about something or if you just like love the game of football, like that video just truly is the best.
Yeah.
I'm going to find it and post it to our page. It was so good.
Well, also another little side note here, as far as contracts go, Pittsburgh also gave a contract extension to kicker Chris Boswell. And his contract now makes him the highest paid kicker in the league. So hats off to him as well. We can't forget our kickers. Chris Boswell is definitely a good one. And it pays to have a good one. So well deserved there.
No, he's definitely always, you know, we're always, you know, Justin Tucker fans and going gung-ho about Justin Tucker. But Chris Boswell is, you know, he's a guy that you are confident. And, you know, he's a guy, I think I had him like 2 years in a row on fantasy. He's just a good guy just to have, honestly.
Yeah. Yep.
I think he might have been injured maybe a couple, I don't know, but like it's a good one to have in your back pocket for sure. So yes, never, don't forget the kickers, guys. Don't forget the kickers.
They get millions of dollars too.
They do. I'm looking for that job. So I'm applying. So whoever's hiring.
I want to be like the third string quarterback holding the clipboard. I want to be a practice squad player. I don't care.
Anything. Like whatever, sign me up. I think I can make it. I think it's fine. All righty, so let's move over to our big stories of the week for Housewives. And we only have one, but let me tell you, it is huge because we are
making history.
We are making history. Taylor Armstrong is joining the Real Housewives of Orange County. On Monday, it was announced that former Housewives of Beverly Hills cast member Taylor Armstrong will now be joining the Real Housewives of Orange County for the upcoming 17th season. It is the first time in Housewives history that a housewife makes a jump across franchises. I love that this news came out. And Katie, I swear to God, people are like listening to us, things like that. Because we had just brought up like last show or the show before, what if, you know, you could trade Housewives from franchise to franchise? Yeah. They were listening. They were probably in discussions. They watched listened to our podcast and they were like, those girls are already on it. We have to pull the trigger now. We have to get Taylor over to Orange County. So Armstrong, who will appear on Real House of Orange County as a friend, was one of the founding members of Beverly Hills when it premiered in 2010. She was on the show for the first 3 seasons and has appeared as a guest many times since. She also returned to reality TV this past June. She was on Ultimate Girls Trip season 2. So a lot of, talk on like Instagram and Twitter is that she really sealed the deal from Ultimate Girls Trip.
People, I mean, the same thing happened with Tamra. Like, so right. I really feel like Ultimate Girls Trip is Bravo's yeah. way of like dipping their foot in the baby pool just to be like, how do people still feel about some of these cast members that, you know, are no longer on their franchises? Are people still fans of them? Would people still want to see them? And when you get these positive reactions from these women on Ultimate Girls Trip, it's, you know, enticing to bring them back full time on the regular franchises.
Yeah. And if anyone's, if you're struggling to know who Taylor Armstrong is, if you're not a Housewives fan, she actually is one of those famous memes that's out yeah. there. It's of the women at Beverly Hills and they're like yelling across the table and there's just like a cat on the other end. Like, like what? She is the blonde in the meme that's pointing yeah. her finger. That is Taylor Armstrong. So clearly we are seeing some drama come. I think I froze. No, you froze. I froze. Okay. I froze. I did. I'm back. Okay. So we will definitely be seeing some drama come over from Beverly Hills to Orange County for sure. So just during her time with Beverly Hills, she did file a divorce from her husband, Russell, after citing physical and verbal abuse. Russell then died by suicide in 2011, which was 1 month after their split was announced. Taylor has since married attorney John Bluhey. I hope I'm pronouncing that correct. Bluhey, whatever, in 2014. They live in Orange County with their 16-year-old daughter from the marriage to Russell. So we will obviously get a family coming into, and that's pretty common with Orange County over the past couple of seasons. They're very... a lot of them are married with children, things like that. So, yeah. So exciting history, honestly, having a housewife bounce over. So I know there's now been some like rumors and speculations, like who will be the next housewife to like transfer cities. So,
yeah.
Someone said NeNe Leakes will go to, shoot, I forget where. I have to
well, they
out
had one. Phaedra just on the episode in Dubai. And she was like, maybe I should move here. So
right.
This is the first full official crossover that we're seeing. Yes. Obviously, we see mashups on Ultimate Girls Trip. But this is the first time that we, like we said, we're seeing a former cast member of a different franchise going to a new franchise. It should be interesting. She's obviously going to be joining Tamra, who is coming back to Orange County as well. Right. So
the cast is good. I'm looking forward to it.
I'm thinking that's probably going to round out the cast. Again, she's not coming on as a full-time, but she's coming on as a friend. And then see from there. I mean, she could be full-time in the future. So,
yep.
All right, well, let's get into our game for tonight. This is a good one. We are playing a game called What Do You Make of This Hot Take? Ooh. So we are going to, Caitlin and I are both going to be giving our own, five of our own hot takes. You can call them hot takes. You can call them, like, what do they say when it's...
cold takes?
No.
When hot they're bad?
But like bold predictions.
Bold predictions,
bold predictions,
yeah.
And hot takes for this upcoming 2022 NFL season. So I'm going to give... five of my own bold predictions. And then Caitlin has to buy or sell. Buy if she agrees with me, sell if she doesn't agree.
We're
with
combining
me.
Two games.
And then, yes, we're doing a mashup of two games. And then Caitlin, who is frozen right now, is going to be giving. She's back.
She's back.
Okay, Caitlin is going to be giving five of her own bold hot takes. And then I will buy or sell the ones that she gives. So why don't we start this off? Caitlin, why don't you give us your five? We'll go through your five first, and I will buy or sell your five bold predictions for the 2022 NFL season.
All right. So my first hot take, bold prediction, is that Peyton and Eli Manning will take more permanent positions with their former teams. Specifically, Peyton will become part owner of the Denver Broncos, and Eli will become the quarterback coach for the New York Giants.
So I'm going to sell this one. And the reason I'm selling it is not so much Peyton. I could see, I don't think next year, but I could see in the future Peyton, you know, becoming a part owner with the Denver Broncos. This I'm more so selling because I don't think Eli will ever coach at all. I think he's expressed that he was a great mentor to Daniel Jones, but he even expressed, you know, in his last season there and like helping Daniel, he's just like, coaching is not for me. Like I don't want to be like coaching someone, teaching someone. So I have to sell this because the Eli part, I just don't ever see how.
Yeah. It sparked my interest just because seeing him, he was at camp this week, obviously. So just seeing that, I was just like, oh, can we see you all the time, Eli? We see him enough.
No doubt he's always going to be involved with the Giants organization. I don't 100%. Doubt that one at all. Just at the coaching, I don't see in his future.
All righty. Number two. Although it's already scheduled, the Super Bowl will be switched to February 19th to finally line up with President's Day weekend in the United States.
Okay, I'm selling this for two reasons. Number one, when you schedule something like the Super Bowl, I don't think that could ever like be.
But it's already scheduled for like the next 2-3 years.
Right. It's like a World Cup, like stuff like that.
I know.
Unless like a natural disaster happens or something like that, it's not going to change. And you know what? The other reason it's not going to change, and the other reason why it's never going to be during President's Day weekend, is because every year for the last however many years, NBA All-Star weekend is during President's Day weekend. So that is my reason. That's my main reason too, that in the future it'll never be. But I got to sell this. They're not changing the date of the Super Bowl unless something is, like I said, a natural disaster.
Well, they need to figure it out because no one likes going to work the next day. No matter, it doesn't matter if you're playing or not. It doesn't matter.
It's a national holiday then, but I don't need to be President's Day, but like, let's have the day after Super Bowl off.
Seriously. All righty. Despite the latest allegations and fines and penalties against the team and ownership, the Miami Dolphins will rise up this season, heavily competing with the Buffalo Bills. They'll be within 2 wins of Buffalo in the regular season and make it to the divisional round of the playoffs.
So if I like stopped your sentence halfway through, I could make arguments for buying it. But as a full statement, I got to sell because I don't think that they're going to make the playoffs. And even if they did, I would see them losing in the first round. Mm-hmm. I think that they are going to have a good season. And I think that they're probably, I think they could be the second place team in the AFC East. But I don't think it's playoffs for them just yet. And even if they slip in, it's not going to be a first round win for them. So as a whole, that statement, I had to sell it.
All right. All right. Next one. Number four, the Jacksonville Jaguars will acquire Jimmy Garoppolo.
I'm going to sell this one.
They're hot takes.
It's interesting because last week when we were talking about where Jimmy G would land, I said I wouldn't be surprised if it was like a team that nobody's necessarily thinking about, a team that doesn't, you know, need a starting quarterback right at this moment. And that certainly puts Jacksonville into the mix because they've got Trevor Lawrence. But I don't see that being one of the teams. And also, like, I am starting to lean towards seeing Jimmy G stay in San Fran. Right at this moment, this week, that's what I'm seeing for Jimmy.
Right.
So I'm selling this one.
All right. And then my last hot take is quarterback focused again. You know what's so interesting? I really tried to not make it quarterback like heavy, but it's like, I think we've spoken about it. It's like the year of the quarterback again.
It's always
the year of the quarterback.
You always want to analyze those situations.
I know. And there's so much going on, obviously, with that. So my final hot take of the evening is Geno Smith will be the starter for 50% of Seattle's games this season. And I'm not specifying the beginning or the end. It's just 50%.
Caitlin, I'm going to give you 1 out of 4 here. I'm going to buy this last one. I
really
thought Seattle would have made moves off season.
It's too late.
But if they were going to do something, you want to like do it now at training camp and preseason. It's getting a little late now.
Right.
You really like they really
imagine bringing someone in like 2 weeks. That's like, no.
They really might be rolling with Drew Lock and Geno Smith this year. And I think it's going to be Drew Lock as the starter, but I think this is going to be a team that really struggles this season. So I think they will potentially, there's the option of flip-flopping between these quarterbacks, but then also like you can always factor in that someone could get hurt and you could see time that way. It just wouldn't surprise me if we saw a mixture of both of those quarterbacks for Seattle this year. So I will buy that one.
All right. I'll take the one. They're hot takes for a reason though, people.
They are. I don't think mine are as spicy as yours, but
no, they were good.
All right. So my five bold predictions for the 2022 NFL season. My first one is, for the first time since the AFC North Division was formed in 2002, the Pittsburgh Steelers will finish fourth in their division.
Oof. It's honestly, I definitely, I feel like if it's going to be a season, it will be this season. I have to buy this one. I think it's a really, really, a really good take because even with everything going on with Cleveland right now, with what we've outlined, you know, you had mentioned earlier in the show, you know, there's so much more on that team offensively and defensively, just really good, outstanding people. So even with the question mark at quarterback and even with maybe, you know, that kind of distraction going on, they're still going to be a talented team. We're still going to see stuff out of them. Pittsburgh for me.
And we're seeing six games that are still winnable with Jacoby Brissett.
But Pittsburgh just has this floating question mark just on the back. It's like a target on their back. I don't see numbers on the back of their jerseys. I see question marks because I don't know what they have. Three quarterbacks, Katie, and they haven't even like put even a little bit of an inkling of who they like the best. Like,
yeah, well, I mean, it came out this week that Kenny Pickett is taking team two reps right now. And Mike Tomlin's like, don't read into it. But of course, everybody's going to read into it.
Of course. But you still have three people competing for that number one spot. It's not just, yes, you have an average of three quarterbacks on your roster. You have active three players competing for a starting position. That's wild, in my opinion, as we go into the preseason right now. And it's three people that are questionable. It's not even like kind of really good people. So, I think it's wild since you bring up like the history of since it was formed. But if it's going to be a year.
Best part is like I knew I was going to make this prediction. And then I was like, okay, well, let me fact check myself and at least let everybody know when's the last time Pittsburgh finished in fourth place in their division. And to my surprise, I was like, it's never happened in the history of the AFC North. So that makes it even crazier. But to me, I think you can make arguments. I could make arguments for the Bengals winning that division. Yeah. I can make arguments for the Ravens winning that division. Cleveland and Pittsburgh, I think, are the outliers. But Cleveland, I think they have playmakers. And I think once they do get Deshaun Watson, that's sure a hell of a lot better than Mitchell Trubisky or Kenny Pickett. And I think we're going to see it. I think we're going to see the Steelers finish in fourth. I think it's going to still be a tight division race all throughout, all four teams. Yes. But somebody's got to finish in fourth. And I think
someone has to. Yeah, I think it's a good take.
All right, number two, I'm going with our football team here. A little prediction for the New York Giants. Quarterback Daniel Jones will lead the Giants in rushing touchdowns this season.
Yeah, I'm going to sell this. So I think that Daniel Jones will be the first touchdown of the season, as we've discussed in the past. It'll be a rushing touchdown because he's going to get that big ass body into the end zone. Mm-hmm. We need him to. I just think that the Giants are going to do some creative things offensively this year, whether it's, maybe looking at, a wide receiver and maybe kind of mimicking like a Debo Samuel, so to say, where he is like, he's your jack of all trades, where he can actually maybe push it and rush it into the end zone. Or what do we see from Saquon Barkley when our offensive line is actually talented? And it definitely, there's so much that needs to be fixed. I'm not trying to be like, we're all good and dandy, but even if it was just 5% better and he's 10% healthier, what could we potentially see there? And again, it doesn't have to be Saquon. It could just be, like I said, maybe they're going to use other guys in creative and new ways. I just don't think it's going to be Daniel Jones. And I don't want to put that much on him to actually be that leader. I would actually be a little upset if he was the leader in rushing touchdowns. So,
well, yeah, like it should be Saquon Barkley. And when I made this prediction, it's right. Like, is it going to be DJ or is it going to be Saquon? And yes, no,
he's got to be throwing the dimes. I'm wearing the dime t-shirt. He's got to be throwing the dimes.
We've drafted so many linemen, and I'm super happy to have Evan Neal. I think a young guy like Andrew Thomas is going to be such a leader for us this year. But I'll never, I have to like believe it, like see it when right. I believe it when I see it. Like, it's never happened. We've never seen it come to fruition season after season, all these linemen that we've drafted. So I need to see it happen. That's number one. Number two, I need to see Saquon be healthy. That's something that's always up in the air.
Yeah.
And the Giants really do love running Daniel Jones in the red zone. Like, that's something that we see a lot.
He did everything for us last season, though. That's why. Yeah.
And also, I can almost see Saquon having more receiving touchdowns than rushing touchdowns. That's a possibility as well. So those were kind of my thoughts on making that bold take. All right, number three, I'm going to the other New York quarterback. I'm going with the New York Jets quarterback, Zach Wilson, will finish the year with more passing yards, passing touchdowns, and fewer interceptions than Jacksonville quarterback Trevor Lawrence.
Oh, you know, it's like, I don't want to like have people come after me, like, but I have to buy this one because
who's coming after you? We have a lot of Jets fans that watch this. They'll all
be nothing to do with that. It's these little like fans of like people like Trevor Lawrence. I've had Tim Tebow fans come after me, Katie. It is a dark world on Twitter. So, but I have confidently stated and said, I'll take back my takes before that. I just don't know how I feel about Trevor Lawrence in the NFL. I've said that multiple times. So that's why I'm going to buy this one. And I think that the Jets, and you know, we have to see it in person and we have to see it in real time, but the Jets hands down had the best offseason of every team and they really built it. And you know, apparently Zach Wilson is back. He's stronger. He's, you know, he looks a lot better. I know it's only camp, but even in the off season, you know, doing some things just to, you know, make him not a college quarterback anymore, an actual NFL quarterback.
He was the one that organized, you know, that trip with all his guys.
Yep.
We're going to go like, you know,
and it was off the grid. Yep. Off the grid. There was no cameras. There was nothing. There was no self. Like, they literally did what they needed to do. Yeah. So, I think it's it's the definition of a bold prediction, but it's one that I could pretty much easily hop on board. So,
and just so you guys know, when you compare these quarterbacks are going into their sophomore seasons this year, their rookie seasons told very different stories. Mm-hmm. Trevor Lawrence had a significant amount of more passing yards over Zach Wilson. Zach Wilson had had a lot less interceptions than Trevor Lawrence.
A lot.
And then Trevor Lawrence only had maybe three or four more passing touchdowns than Zach Wilson. So their numbers were very like, you know, one had its strengths in one category, one beat them out in the other category. And so I'm going, Zach is getting all three categories this season.
All right.
All right, number four, the Seattle Seahawks will finish in the bottom five teams in the league, and it will be Pete Carroll's last season coaching them.
Very similar to kind of how you answered a couple of mine. I think that I can see them finishing near the end. I don't think it's Pete Carroll's last season, so I'm going to have to sell this one. I don't want to say it's the downfall of the Seattle Seahawks. I think this season will be a wake-up call for them and a dip. It's kind of like when you're on the roller coaster and you're like, whoop, you fall down real quick. They might come back up. They will trickle back up. I think it'll be okay. I just think that this will be kind of that wake-up call, like, oh, shit, like there's things we need to figure out. And I think Pete Carroll is that head coach to help them figure it out and work through things. And maybe in like 2-3 seasons, we could see him, you know, go off into the sunset. But I just don't think it's next year.
So his contract is through 2025. I believe now he is currently the oldest head coach in the league.
I think he has been for like two, three seasons. Yeah. Right.
And, you know, there were rumblings after this past season, people like wondering and questioning if he was going to leave. And those rumblings really came because they had such a horrible season.
Yeah.
Well, now they don't have Russell Wilson. They don't have Chris Carson. Like, I think this year is going to get a lot worse than what they experienced last year. And if people were wondering this offseason if he was going to leave, I think next year he does. Next offseason, we're seeing him go bye-bye. Okay, and last but not least, number five, Minnesota wide receiver Justin Jefferson will lead the league in receiving yards for the first time in his young career.
I love Justin Jefferson, but I'm going to sell this one.
Yeah, I think, you know what? As I was reading that, I think on a recent episode, you still said that Cooper Kupp was going to lead the league. So I kind of knew you were going to sell that one.
Such a, really talented player. We love watching him, obviously. I look forward to watching him for the rest of his career. He's definitely going to be a lightning bolt in the NFL for sure. I'm all in on Cooper Kupp. So
fair enough. Well, that was a great game. Definitely
that was fun.
Spicy takes, a lot of fun to analyze and go over. And every year there's something, not just one thing, multiple things that happen in the season that you could have never predicted. Always. And I'm excited to find out what those things are this year. Maybe it'll be the Giants going to the playoffs.
No one
will predict that shit. So
no, honestly, like we say it, it's mind-boggling. Since we've been doing the show, we say it every season. Like last season was crazy. Like it was so bizarre. And like, it just, the next season just knocks it out of the park. So like, I don't know what's going to happen this season. Like last year was clearly the Bengals going to the Super Bowl really took the cake last year. Like it was like, there was things that like, we did not imagine happening for, you know, anything. So I'm you're right. I look forward to seeing what's the thing this year or multiple things that happen this year that totally just like catch us off guard. So, and there's definitely going to be stuff for sure. All right. Is that point of the episode where we get it off our chest, positive, negative, football, housewives, wine, life, anything, August, you know, it's August 3rd. Is that your get it off your chest? But Katie, go ahead and kick us off with this.
I told Caitlin before the show that I didn't really have anything off the top of my head. I kind of still don't.
That's fine.
You know, I said it at the beginning of the episode, it's August. I know one of my get it off my chest a couple of weeks ago is that summer was flying too fast. But I'm okay with it being August because I am really excited for football season. And I know that we were talking about going to a preseason game. Again, we're huge Giants fans. We have friends who are big Giants fans. We also have a ton of friends who are big Jets fans. I think we're going to all try to get a big tailgate going for that Jets-Giants preseason game. I was looking at tickets this past week for some Giants regular season games that are pretty damn cheap.
Yeah, so, we'll be there.
I remember however many years ago, Kate, where we wouldn't go to a lot of regular season games because you couldn't find tickets under $100. Like you would spend over $100 to sit in the last row in the nosebleeds.
Yeah.
So you're going to catch Caitlin and I at a couple of games this year.
We will.
A lot of those games are early, like in September and October, Sunday at 1 o'clock.
Oh, beautiful weather.
Crappy team. So hopefully we're going to be really enjoying being in some nice weather. Obviously preseason end of August will be nice, but hopefully we catch you guys at a bunch of tailgates this year. So I'm excited for that.
Definitely. I'm so excited for, I know it's summer's ending, but I'm excited for football. I'm excited for fall. I got to tell you, on one of our episodes recently, I did say that I had a nightmare about not having my Halloween costume ready. Katie, it is now a reoccurring nightmare. I have it once a week
now. Oh my God.
And it's like, I don't even know. So I have to figure out my Halloween costume like tomorrow.
So you can stop having this dream.
It's straight up nightmares. It's nightmares.
Stop having the nightmare.
Nightmares. So my get it off my chest is just a quick little like positive, like, you know, just kind of like uplifting. But it at first it might not sound uplifting, but I promise it is. So today is the 9-year anniversary of when my grandma passed away. So is my mom's mom. And, you know, it's always like when it pops up and like you wake up in the morning and you realize it's the day, whether it's like a Facebook memory or just like kind of like, you know, you remember it's the day or anything like that. You get a little sad, but then it's always good to like reminisce and to like look at pictures and to like look at things. So, you know, looking back on the day when it actually happened, when, you know, my siblings and I were like, or my family were like making, you know, posts and everything like that, you know, about it happening. You know, one of the things, like the reoccurring themes across all of our posts and everything like that was just like how big of a Giants fan she was. So Katie and I constantly talk about, you know, our legacy of, you know, how we grew up in Giants household, how we grew up in, just heard a very loud sound outside of my complex. I don't know what that was. I'm still here. So it's not thundering and lightning, but it sounded like it. So basically just, you know, having that football first mentality. For me, what is so special is that my grandma was a huge, she had Giants season tickets. Like they were hers. Like it's for me, like that's incredible. Like to have a female in my family, like, you know, she really put football on me. She really put the New York Giants on me. And she knew everything about those teams, like everything end to end. You know, she just, the pictures I have, like I even have like stuff from her, like clothes now that were given down to me that are all Giants stuff. So I just love that. And it's, you know, when you get to a point, you know, 9 years later, like it still hurts and you still, it sucks because you still want these people in your life, but you have so much of them with you. And I wish, like, I know she's watching like these episodes. Like, I know she would have loved this. She would have been probably the best guest on the Real Football Fans in New Jersey. But I just, you know, it's always like good to think about that and to know where, you know, my true fandom came from. And this love of the game doesn't just, you know, you wake up one day and you love it. You really are taught it. You really, you know, get it from the people around you. So I'm so thankful that she really instilled all of this Giants love. And maybe it's been 9 years since the Giants have been like good and since she passed away. So grandma, heavens above, like, please can maybe the Giants be good for for once. I know you're probably rolling around in your grave being like, oh, those damn New York Giants. So maybe Giants, let's do it for my grandma once in my life. But yeah, it just, I thought it was ironic that, you know, tonight was the show landing on that day, but yeah. It's good. It's a good thing.
God bless my grandmother who has passed away as well. Mm-hmm. But she always rooted for the Giants. She knew that, mm-hmm. But there would be many times where on her own, my grandma would be watching football. She really liked basketball. She would watch basketball a lot. And she would call me and we would talk on the phone and she'd be like, oh, this is the game I'm watching. She's like, what color jersey am I rooting for? Grandma just wanted to root for whoever I like.
Yeah.
If, you know, if the Cowboys were playing somebody, I'm like, we're not rooting for the blue team.
Not that team.
Okay. So grandma just wanted to root for whoever I wanted. So
I love it.
We had the best grandmas in the world.
I know.
And, you know, now we mentioned them here on the Real Football Fans in New Jersey, and we know they're looking out for us and we miss them very much.
Absolutely.
All right. Well, that was a great show. We have so many good, exciting things to look forward to this week.
We
have
do.
The Real Housewives of Beverly Hills that is on tonight, happening right now at 8 p.m. That started. Real Housewives of Dubai is also on tonight at 9 p.m. Real Housewives of Atlanta on Sunday at 8. That NFL Hall of Fame game that we've been counting down every week, that is on tomorrow at 8 p.m. It is the first official preseason game. And then the next set of the whole batch of games will happen the following weekend. But HBO Hard Knocks also starts on Tuesday. That will be airing at 10 p.m. featuring.
Oh, it's so late. I'm very excited about it. It's very late.
It goes on demand pretty quickly if you have HBO on demand. So definitely I'm going to try my best to give it a shot at. I have so many TV shows to watch and so little time.
I don't. I was just saying that the other day. I don't. I'm like blanked right now. So
well, I just got Hulu. So that's like a whole new
I need to do that.
That have entered my world. So many TV shows to watch, but I'm definitely going to try to add Hard Knocks to that list.
Yeah.
But thank you guys again for hanging out with us tonight. We will see you next Wednesday. Can't wait for it. Have a good night. Have a great rest of your week. And happy August, almost football time.
Happy August.
Cheers.
Bye, everyone.